Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day I was talking with Dwight Nelson. He was telling me about a book that he saw on prayer. And it was entitled Great Prayers of the Bible. And he told me that he began to thumb through it. And as he did, he saw expected names like Moses. He saw Samuel and Solomon, David and Daniel, Hezekiah and Paul the Apostle, all with their prayers. However, one obvious name and person was missing. Want to take a guess at who that might have been? It was Jesus. As he flipped through this book on prayer, he couldn't find a single prayer by Jesus. He thought that maybe it was an oversight or honest mistake by the author and editor, but said, "Wouldn't you want to start there for prayer?" And he's right. This morning, as we learn about prayer, we'll learn from the master of prayer himself, Jesus our Lord. He is the one who teaches us how to pray and sends us the Spirit that helps us to pray. In our gospel text, we see the prayer that Jesus gives his disciples and us. He gives us the Lord's Prayer, which is the best prayer. It's the outline and pattern for every prayer. This morning, we'll take an in-depth look at this marvelous prayer and really all that it asks for. And so Luke begins by telling us that as Jesus finished praying, one of his disciples makes a request. It's the only time in any of the Gospels that a disciple asks Jesus to actually teach them something. And so this disciple asks Jesus, he says, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And so Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say..." He begins to teach them and us about prayer. Our Lord teaches us how to pray himself. And so he starts with the address. How do we address God? We call him Father. About a month ago, Dawn and I were sleeping in our bed when at about 2 a.m. we heard a cry through the baby monitor. And hoping this cry would not get louder and more pronounced, we were ultimately disappointed. And as we were asking each other in our sleepy stupor who was going to get up and rock Mia back to sleep, we heard a word that made it quite evident, at least for me. Through the monitor, I heard the word Daddy. And at that moment, my heart melted and I jumped out of bed saying, "I'm on my way, honey. Daddy." When we pray, we call God Father. We call him Father. In our baptism, we've been buried and raised with Christ. And it's there that we were made his children and brought into his family. He is our Father. Make no doubt about that. And as our Father, he loves us and cares for us and protects us. He is patient and forgiving. He listens to our cries for help. We can go to him with our problems, our pleas, and our petitions. This word Father invites us to believe that God is our true Father and that we are his true children. There's no air quotes or imagination about it. And as our Father, we can approach and ask him with all boldness and with all confidence as children may ask their parents. We can ask at 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. We can come with tears and heavy hearts. We can come with thanksgiving and praise. We can come for help in earthly matters or in spiritual things. Our calling God Father reminds us and reflects these wonderful truths. And with the address, we then move to the action. Jesus teaches us what to pray for and ultimately what we really need. And so we pray, "Hallowed be your name." The word hallowed means to make holy. Certainly God's name is holy in and of itself. So why do we pray for this? We pray in this petition that God's name would be kept holy among us also. God's name is hallowed, it's made holy when his word is taught in truth and purity. God's name is the revelation of who he is and what he has done. And if his name or word is not taught correctly, it misrepresents him and doesn't honor him. It can lead others astray and bears false witness about him. Think about the damage that heresy does, or maybe prosperity preachers or faith healers can do. But God's name is also hallowed when we lead and live holy lives according to it. As people who bear God's name, we represent Him in the world around us. We're called Christians, after all, and Christian means little Christs. Oftentimes, we don't do a great job of bearing that name by what we speak, by what we do, by what we think. We don't lead and live holy lives. But Jesus hallowed God's name for you. He kept it holy. And so Jesus has us pray here for help in hallowing His name. We pray that God would protect us from misusing His name by our teaching and our talking and our interactions. Hallowed be Your name. And so Jesus says, Your kingdom come. Jesus has us pray for the coming of His kingdom. What is this kingdom and how does it come? The kingdom of God is the gracious rule and reign of Jesus that comes to us here and now by His Spirit through His Word. And like the prior petition, it comes without our asking. So what are we praying for then? We're praying here that this kingdom would come to others. It's really a missionary petition. We pray that others would be included in this kingdom. They would receive God's Spirit and His gifts. We pray that God would extend this kingdom by sending workers into the harvest field, and that He would bless the current work that is done. We also pray for ourselves with these three words. We boldly ask that we would remain in this kingdom and grow in it. We ask that God would keep us in that one true faith until He comes again and fully manifests His rule. He will do it. Your kingdom come. And now we see a shift from God to our needs. Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." I remember going to a family party on Dawn's side, and as we were walking in, I saw a weird license plate that read ODAT, O-D-A-T, and I wondered what that meant. It's certainly not an English word. Was it an inside joke? Maybe it was a band or a foreign word or a kid's first word. And so I asked Dawn whose car that was so I could ask that person about their license plate. And she told me it was her aunt's car. And once we were inside, I went over to her aunt and asked, "What's with your license plate? What does it mean?" And she says, "It means one day at a time. It's the philosophy I live my life by." And that's our focus here. That's our focus with this petition. That's what Jesus draws our eyes to. We give thanks to God today for what He has given and done. We're invited to not worry about the future, which is unknown, but to live one day at a time. If I wonder and worry about the future, how we'll get the kids to college, how we'll have enough money for retirement, how we'll make ends meet, or how healthy we'll be, we will see and miss today what God has given. We'll miss what is right before us. And what is it? Luther is a great help here. He tells us that daily bread is everything that we need for this life, for the needs and support of the body. He says it's things like clothing and food and drink. It's shoes and house and home. It's land, animals, things like our pets. It's money, goods, a devout spouse, devout friends and children and employees. It's peace, self-control, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, a good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Jesus has us ask for these things, and He gives us these things. We ask these things for ourselves and for our family, and we ask that God would open our eyes to give thanks for what He has graciously given. And after praying for our physical needs, we move to our spiritual one, our greatest need, forgiveness. We pray, forgive us our sins, or our debts. As a people, we know a lot about debt, don't we? Our country, as of February of this year, owes $22 trillion. The average credit card debt in our state is $6,700. The average student loan debt is $32,000. Maybe we're still paying off our 30-year mortgage or paying off our 5-year car loan. And what do we do when we owe? We try to do whatever we can to pay it off. We might stretch ourselves to work extra hours. Maybe we make a sacrifice to make that payment or try to squeeze as much as we can out of every penny that we have. And Jesus gives us a helpful imagery here for sin. He says sin is a debt. Sin is a moral debt owed to God. And what does your account look like? I saw mine. It doesn't look good. Yours doesn't either. You can't refinance this debt. You can't write it off or have it excused. A payment plan won't put a dent in it. You can work all that you want, and it will never be enough to pay it. But thanks be to God that Jesus has paid it in full for you. He's covered all of our sins. His death on the cross settled our account. And his resurrection says, payment accepted. Jesus has us pray for this forgiveness. And to receive it, he gives it freely and is willing to. And he does. You are forgiven. Forgive us our sins as we have also forgiven our debtors. As we go through life, people will sin against us. There's no doubt about that. And we're called to forgive. And that can be a really hard thing if we're honest. But forgiving doesn't always mean having no memory of past wrongs. Sometimes we can't forget that sin that was done to us. Sometimes that word can still weigh on us. Sometimes when that secret was spilt and put out in the open, that still stings. Sometimes that action still afflicts us 20 years later. Jesus knows our struggles. He knows our pain. And the Catechism puts it well when it says, we pray here that our Father in heaven would free us from the anger and resentment that may accompany those memories. We relinquish them into his merciful hands and trust for healing over time. It's all we can do. Our God forgives us and helps us in forgiving others. He gives us our greatest need, forgiveness. And we pray, and lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? The Apostle James really clarifies this point in chapter 1 of his letter. There he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, for he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Certainly God tempts no one. So we pray that God would guard and keep us so that the world, our flesh and others and the devil would not deceive us or mislead us. We ask that they would not lead us into terrible things like despair and false teachings and great shame and vice. Our Lord knows us. He knows our nature and the dangers we face. So we pray that we would overcome these things in Christ and gain the victory. We pray to the one who knows temptation and to the one who strengthens. Lead us not into temptation. And to end it all, Jesus gives us a word. Amen. Amen means so shall it be. It emphasizes that God will hear our prayers and answer them best, just as he promised to. And what do we say to all of these things? How about this? Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.